Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 2. Praise God. This is a miracle service. Amen?
Amen.
We believe God for miracles. You know, you can't say you believe in God and you don't believe in the supernatural. Because God is not a thing that you touch. Right? To believe in God itself is to believe in the supernatural. And a believer should never be ashamed to say, I believe in miracles. I believe in miracles. Praise God. So, miracles are our path. It's always on our path. And I sense to share something today that I didn't know until I got here. In fact, I prayed about the service, but right here, I got to share something. I'm going to share something. I saw one of the music team members was singing. I just sense to talk about something. I'll get to it as well. Hebrews chapter 2. Now, this is a very old teaching of ours. I taught it first in 1994. And I don't want to call it a favorite, but I love to talk about this. Amen. Hebrews 2 was, let's start from 1. Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them sleep or slip away from them. Verse 2 says, if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received the just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Now, you can call that the gospel, right? So great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord. It began to be spoken by the Lord, which means that Jesus preached, all right? So he preached it. Now, this definitely is the four gospels. Then he says, the writer, he says, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. Now, which means that this person wasn't there. So the person came and said, you know what? Jesus actually preached so-and-so and gave what you can call a second-hand information, which means you weren't there, but you were told, just like Luke. This is very similar to Luke, who also said that he got what he wrote from those who were eyewitnesses. Luke 1, 2, and 3. And ministers of the word. So, this is true. So, which means that he got it from the apostles of Jesus, who are his eyewitnesses. Luke's gospel 24 and 48. They came and said, look, Jesus says so and so. And then they didn't have the privilege of having recorded material, so they didn't have give me the flash drive or give me the tape. No. It was human witnesses that God used to bear witness or say evidence of the things that Jesus said and did. So as they came and they talked about the life of Jesus, let's look at the things they will say. They'll talk about the fact that he was born of a virgin, and then which means that he was born by a miracle. And it was, oh wow, wow, what a story. You know, if you ever had one uncle of yours or who had this thing about giving you stories when you were young, he said, uncle, tell us another story. I remember one senior uncle of ours, I got to a point that we now knew that he was making it up. So one of them now, one of us now said, Oku, tell us another fabu. He was upset. What do you, tell us another fable. Cause you know, by the time he started saying that, you know, the lion came out of the TV. You know, that is, you'll enjoy it, but you know that there's no lie on TV. So the eyewitnesses will tell the story that Jesus was born of a virgin. Say, true? Say, yeah. That means the father and the mother never had sex and he was born. Then he'll tell you that he was anointed of the Holy Ghost. And then God spoke to John the Baptist. Yeah, possible. So then he begins to talk about the fact that he now turned water to wine. And you are going, That virgin story one is personal testimony, I understand. Water to wine. Are you sure it's not the water became dirty? They say, no, it's wine. People took it. And then they say, there was one blind Bartimaeus. He's blind from birth. His eyes open. Eh? And they're all listening. And then they go on and on. There was a woman with the issue of blood. You know, she touches clothes. His clothes. What kind of clothes? Hey, no, not any clothes. In fact, Peter will say, I used to wash that clothes. Nothing there, there. And they say, eh? And they'll be looking. Hey. So, you know, and they tell all that story. Then they'll get to a point. When you're telling that story, go. You know, in writing, in plot writing, I do plot writing too. You get to a point, then you call it a tragic part of it. Now there's a tragic end. What is not a tragic end? It says he died. Oh, you know, you just go, that looks like a tragic story. I go, You know, like we say, actors are supposed to die, but some actors die. One movie I never liked. I liked it, I never liked it. The Champ. Who was the champ? One guy who was a boxer guy. The guy just won. Everybody's happy. Hey. Somebody told me, he said, when you watch the champ, press man, you will cry. I said, no, I will not. But I did though. Because I was so invested in the movie. I liked the fact that the champ, he said, and then the champ said, champ. Then he now, when it was now time to take the belt, the trophy or, you know, he now went. And then when the child was in, champ, wake up, it's gonna go. That was what moved everybody. And I'm looking, champ. And so, imagine the apostles getting to that point and they said, so the champ, our champion who stopped the sea, stopped the waves of the sea, who opened blind eyes, he now said, my God, say, ah. 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 He says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Imagine that's what he said. Ah, you the other say, so God come ghost Jesus. He no appear, say God no show. Ah, so God should they do capping. Say yes, so. And then he's all that Jesus goes. So he just said, until as I commit my spirit, ah. Peter will say, now so we bail you. Then you wonder, is that all? They smile. That's not all. After Acts don't die, what's in remain? And you also ran. Then he now says, on the third day. And they go, what's happened? We keep now. He said, no. He rose again. What do you mean by that? He rose again. Yeah. Some women even saw him. We thought they were having, emotional conflict. You know, begin to see their lover in a dream. So he went to the grave. His body wasn't there. His body was not there. Ha! Nanaija. Then the still body. Say, no. Say, he didn't appear to us. Appear to you. Were you all dreaming? No. We all saw him. Even ate food. Ah. You almost think like that, my uncle. He did what? Say, he was eating. Eating what? Bread and what? See fish. Who? Jesus. He rose. Then they now say, when he rose from the dead, he now gave us his spirit. He came to live with us. You say, you are complicating stories. You say somebody rose. You cannot point us to where he is or she is. You are now saying he's with you. Where? Now. At that point, you now say, well, do you have popcorn? Because that means you just don't want to admit that he didn't rise. Because if you say he rose from the dead, you tell me his house is there. Then we can go and say he's with me. Oh my God. This is a Lambert story. What do you mean by he's with you? How is he with you? Nobody you are there. See, there's nobody with you. So now imagine if that was all they said. They confirmed it to us. Those who heard him. Look at the next verse. Oh, praise God. Did you see this one? Oh, praise God. Let's take it together. God also. Oh, wait. Which means they gave an oral evidence. But God also. Bearing them witness. You know, they gave the verbal witness. Which is all you can say. I was there, oh. Sincerely, I saw him, oh. They said, but God also bearing them witness. Now, the word bearing them witness is a Greek word. Two Greek words. Son, that is together. Right? Then he says, epimaterial. E-P-I-M-A-T-U-R-E-O. Which means, you are giving a witness. And you are the one talking. You are saying, I was there. I saw him. We ate bread together. And they said, that's fine. Then God says, move aside. Let's do this together. Let me confirm this story to them. That what you are saying is true. Now, our own limit is that we will say what we saw. Our limit is we will say what we read. But it says, now God now steps in. No long thing. Do you understand? It says, God now bearing them witness. Which means that this is now going to take. If you say somebody is alive, it means that whatever he did in your story, he can still do now. So God says, step aside, Peter. Step aside, John. Now let me confirm what you have said to them. How does he do it? It's not by another speech. It's by sign. Hallelujah. What is a sign? A sign points you to something else. If you tell us he rose from the dead, there should be a sign that he's still alive. Signs. Then he says, wonders. Then he says, diverse miracles. Then he says, and gifts of the Holy Ghost. Signs. Wonders. Wonders. Diverse miracles. A sign points you or gives you evidence that something exists. A sign. That it exists. A sign points to another. When I get up and see the sun, I say it's afternoon. When I see the sun come down, I see the moon, I say it's evening. So the sun and the moon are like signs. Signs. He says, therefore, if Jesus rose from the dead and he's still alive, God now bears witness. In Mark 16:20, he says, the Lord walking with and confirming the message with signs following. A sign that is alive. A sign that is alive is not just a letter. A sign that is alive is not just the fact that, okay, you know where, is the fact that the same things that he did, he's still doing them now. With signs. A sign points you. Which means that we see the proof that he's alive with a repeat of the things that he did. Then he says, wonders. The way I used to say it back then, when he said, what is a wonder? A wonder is what makes you wonder. All right? You go, wow. I like the way the Yorubas put it. They say, yanu, which means you open your mouth and go, ha. Ah. That's a wonder. A sign. A wonder. Actually, in the original language, the word wonder there means show of power. Power of God. Signs, wonders, power of God, a show, something that shows that is, it's like a, something that, let me put it like this, something that it attracts you. Then he says, diverse miracles. Well, you have the word dunamis, diverse. Notice the word diverse, many kinds of miracles. Many kind of miracles. Praise the Lord. One is a signs. Then it says wonders. Then it says different kinds of miracles. Diverse miracles. Then he says, gifts of the Holy Ghost. The word gifts of the Holy Ghost is the Greek word merismos. Some versions will call it distributions. Technically, he's really talking about the ministry gifts. Distributions. Now, the ministry gifts will mean that you have Jesus now practically walking through everybody. Which means that when you see this fellow, you see Jesus. When you see that fellow, you see that distributions of the Holy Ghost. So distributions there really relate with a many faces of Jesus. In fact, the first time I taught this sermon 29 years ago, I said, this is how I said it. I said the word distributions there is faces. That is the same person showing himself through different faces. Just like today. Many of us go into the streets to preach Jesus. Many of us lay hands on the sick. That's his distributions. Christ walking through us. In John 14, 12, he says, he that believes on me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater than this shall he do because I go to my Father. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, the Father will do it. And the Father is glorified in the Son. That is many sides of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and say, I'm a distribution of the Holy Ghost. Say, I have the distribution of the Holy Ghost, which means that Jesus Christ is distributed among us. So he's alive in the signs, wonders, and miracles. He's also alive in our ministries. Hallelujah. He's alive in our ministries. Hallelujah. You know, years ago, I was a bit troubled about ministers who fell as we think they did. And I was, you know, there's sometimes that God won't wait for you to understand any doctrine. And I was a bit taken aback. And as I was praying, I saw the Lord come to me in a vision. And he stood by me. And he said, go and preach my word. I will stand with you everywhere you go. And every time I'm anywhere and a bit trying to know what to do, I remember that vision. About 30 years ago now, I said, he's standing here. I know he is. Because I am his expression. I am his expression. And I need not be perfect to be his expression. Hallelujah. The only perfect person that God used was Jesus. And Jesus is God. Praise the Lord. So I'm a distribution of God. Of the Spirit of God. Of the ministry of Jesus. But let's get back to this one. It says signs. Wonders. Diverse miracles. Different kinds of miracles. Guys, let me say something here. This is my emphasis this morning or this afternoon. You see, learn to look at God as one who can do more than one miracle. Sometimes all you believe him for is healing, which you should. But you can also believe him for more things. Because what we saw him do will multiply things. Praise the Lord. Multiply. Multiply demonstrations of his power. You know, you could, this morning or this afternoon, you could be in a very dire need, financially speaking. But you see, sometimes you've exercised your faith on healing because you've gotten it. And sometimes when you have seen something over and over again, your faith is almost used to that. And when it comes to your finances, you're just very logical. Nothing wrong in being logical. I told you that logic is not the opposite of faith. You know, you're logical. But sometimes logic gets to a dead end. And you could be like, okay, so the next thing on your mind is to call somebody. That could just be the next thing. Let me call this person. And, you know, nothing works. Let me call that person. And there are many times like that, we'll call the people and they disappoint us. Sometimes even that call can lead you into strife. And you are bitter. You should have been able to help me now. The person doesn't help you. Because the person is also looking for a helper. Hallelujah. Sometimes you think somebody has 100,000. So you should be able to give you part of the 100 because your own need is 5,000. But how do you know his own need is not 200,000? He's just looking at somebody who has 500,000 to give him part of the 200. You know, sometimes that's how it works. So your mind just goes like, oh God, what do I do? And in your head, you are always used to logic. You sit down, you calculate, what have I saved up? What have I not saved up? You know, you're looking at that. You know, in the Bible, there was a story like that with Jesus. And he had taken them out to the wilderness to go and speak and bless them and teach them. And I'm sure people went there with food. But it got to a point, you know, the meetings stretched for days. Jesus now said, you know, I mean, these guys are, what do we do? And then the prayer said, let's send them away, you know, and all that. And then he says, no, you can't send them away hungry. And then they looked at him like, yeah, we can't send them away hungry, but then, it's like, you know, sometimes someone talks and look at him, so what do we do? You know, you look at, what are you trying to say? You can't send them away hungry like that and say, I know, let's pray for them. Like, let's just prophesy. I should go. You know, Jesus said, no, he said, no. He said, you know, and Jesus said, you know, he said, give them food to eat. They felt like saying, Jesus, this is not the house of Martha. That house cannot contain more than 20 people. Look at the people you are talking about. Just look at the women. Imagine the husband. Forget the children. And then they're thought in their head, how are we going to get food here? Even if we have more. You know, they're going to think, how is he going to get here now? How many, the courier service don't even get here. You know, you can start thinking like that. They don't even get here. So what can we do now? Even, how many people can even supply fish at this point? Fish. How many fish are even in the ocean? To not get the fish here. Bread. How many, if I am told that the price of bread has gone up. You know, begin to think like that. They were thinking like that. He said, well, there's one boy's meal. I'm sure they went around to ask, who has food? And I said, you know, you look around and say, who has food? Anybody with food here? You just look at your family. You maybe you have like 50 loaves, because I'm sure your family can be heavy duty. You say, who has food? You just zip your bag. Which food? Food of the Holy Spirit. One boy, he didn't know what he was going to. You know, he'd be said, hello guys, Jesus wants to multiply. They say, hold on, let me get to town. I'll get you more bread. You know, and the boys gave it. Generosity. He didn't know. He didn't say, when can I get it back? So they brought Jesus only one little boy's meal. They probably said little boy. Because he doesn't eat like some ogologbo adults. When they are eating, he say, do you want more? If you give me. They are bread like that. God bless you. So, he said, ask them to sit down. And I said, what did you hear Master say? Sit down. I asked him to send these guys away. Sit down in this wilderness. Oh, so relax. John said, relax. He wants to use the bread as a parable. You know, he said, man shall not live by bread alone. So he would take the bread of the boy and say, you see this bread? Everybody here, you cannot live by it alone. Stay on the word of God. Then he lifted up the bread and gave thanks. Oh, praise God. Oh, praise God. That's not logical, right? But you know, you can give thanks this afternoon. Hallelujah. So, but a little boy's meals, he gave thanks. He gave thanks and now distribute. Praise God. He gave thanks in the midst of that hardship. And what a miracle it was. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. He gave thanks. You know, some of the most outstanding miracles Jesus did, just like at the grave of Lazarus, he gave thanks. Learn to give thanks. Oh, I give thanks to God. I know his power is coming through. Sometimes they say, let's give thanks after I have prayed. Then I believe like you are backing up. No, I give thanks alone. Hallelujah. He gave thanks. It's not logical to do that. Now, don't forget, this is not about being lazy about your finances and not doing anything about it. These guys are in the wilderness. There's really no way they could have gotten anything there at all. It's logically impossible. And I'm saying it to you this afternoon. It looks logically impossible, but it is possible with God. Hallelujah. You might not be in the wilderness like they were, but you are in a dire situation that has a time limit. Sometimes it has a timeline to it. It has a deadline. Sometimes it has behind it something you can't figure out anymore. You've gotten to the end. You can no longer figure it out. It could be your health. You can't figure it out again. You were placed on drugs. You thought that after 6 weeks, it would be gone. It's the seventh week, the eighth week, and nothing has happened. You can't figure it out again. All your business plans have gone off. In the work of the ministry, you plan it all out. Everything seems to be scattered. You can't figure it out anymore. I like the song by Alvin Slaughter. That's when he steps in. Hallelujah. That's when he steps in. He says, God can. I know God can. And you know, something I always tell people. I've had times in my life where I wanted something and I didn't get it. But you know, I don't focus on that. I don't. You know what I focus on? I focus on the times I got it. Hallelujah. Then I remind myself, I've gotten this before. And a greater one is coming. You know, you could get it figured out. And then you've gotten to the very end of it. Nothing. Nothing. It's you really cannot, you can't explain anymore. Just like Jesus saw all of them. Oh, Peter was there. Luke 5. They had toiled all night. They are fishermen. Jesus was a carpenter's son. Fishermen toiled all night and caught nothing. You could just say, that's a normal thing. I mean, sometimes, you know, and then they explain, and he says, Lord, we've done this all night. We've caught nothing. God has no issues with you expressing your heart, your experience, sometimes even your doubt. I told you before, God knows we doubt. Because we're human, we have times we say, how is this going to be possible? He knows we doubt. But what he tells us, we must not conclude with our doubts. Is that very clear? Do you have times, Pastor, you also, I do, but I don't conclude with it. Because I know that is the power of God. It has no logical explanation. It has no, and I was talking to someone last week, the person said, is this coincidental? I said, nope, it's miraculous. The person smiled. It's a miracle. It's not coincidental. I don't live in coincidence. I don't live by luck. Praise God. And so now let me tell you something this afternoon. Sometimes it could be the time you grumble the most. It just wants you to change your focus. I'm telling you this afternoon, he wants just change your focus. And never disqualify yourself. God is compassionate. If he has to wait for you to get everything right, then you get nothing. But he's compassionate. Hallelujah. You get to that logical side. Say, you know, Peter said, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. This is our profession. This is what I do for a living. This is what I do. These are my projections. I know this field very well. But he says something. This is the difference between Zachariah and Mary. Mary said, how can I? I know not a man. Then the angel said, the Holy Spirit will overshadow you. The only thing that shall come out of you is the Son of God. She said, be it unto me. Do you think she didn't have the doubts? Because she's never seen it before. And the Greek of that in Luke 1, 36 and 37, 38, he says, no word of God is without power. Be it unto me according to your word. Be it unto me according to, I know there's a doubt in my head right now, but be it unto me according to your word. I know right now my logic is not getting what you say, but be it unto me according to your word. Sometimes like that, I have my head running riot. but I'm giving thanks. I know the word of God is working. My head is telling me, go ahead, keep quiet. I said, no, I know the word of God is working. He said, the word of God is working. It's working. Remember one time that I went to the doctor. And the doctor said to me, he said, what I see here, you know, it's this one, is this one, and all that. He was trying to tell me, there's nothing we can do about it. It's incurable, and all that. And I smiled. Now when I was smiling, somewhere in my head, I'm going, are you mad? You know, are you mad? Better listen to the man. Maybe he will tell you what to do about to manage it. You know? I said, I will be healed. The man said, no. You don't know what I'm talking. I met the man at the airport a couple years back who just smiled. I said, thank God for your life. He had to thank God. Because I told him, I said, I'll be healed. He said, you don't know what I'm saying. I said, no, sir, you don't know what I'm saying. When I said that, you know, when you make a boast and you go, hey, you've got yourself into trouble. This man would have helped you. He already told me he could not help. I wasn't rude. I said, give me 2 weeks, I'll be back. Now, of course, I said that one out of excitement. But I didn't go back in 2 weeks. I went back in the Word of God. Every day, I fed on the Word of God. I told people around me what I saw. And I said, no, don't be afraid. I'll be fine. I've seen this before. I've seen this kind of report before. And I just said to myself, then I didn't even know a verse of scripture about healing. I've been hearing him. We know those things that you don't pay attention. It's where you now need it. You say, where is that verse again? You've been looking for dictionary or concordance. So I just remembered that was the year, that was 8 years before that. No, 8 years before that. And I said, I heard Dom Wayne's song. I am the Lord that he led. I didn't know the verse. I said, he's the one that heals me. I didn't know the verse. I didn't know whether it was in the Quran. I didn't even know. I just said, God heals me. That's all. I didn't even know. Somebody was saying, one day I was now doing a study somewhere. I said, you know that? That's Psalm 107 verse 20. I was telling someone, I said, do you know, if I do the exegesis very well, that healing may not be physical healing. The guy said, eh. I said, but leave that thing. I use it to get healed. Leave that thing. Me. I can't deny the fact that was the scripture I used. Say, eh. What can I say? Look, God does not look at those things. I think God will say, okay, what's the original Greek word? No. That one is for your worship. I told you that before. See, I believe God. I believe God. So I went back here, weeks after. And they began to check. And I stood there. They said, wait, they say we want to confirm one. Want to confirm this one. Want to confirm that. I said, you want to know what you saw?
It's a miracle.
Hallelujah. It's a miracle. I don't expect you to see why. There is no explanation to miracle. That's why it's called wonder. And there's no area of our lives where we can... I heard a story of a young boy. He said, every time I wanted to ask my father, he's a primary school boy, I first prayed to God. And God, to meet my dad's needs, my mom's need. You know, what a way to train your child. They won't go to the father first. In Jesus' name, I stand in faith with my dad and mom that their needs are met and mine too. What faith. Praise God. Amen. You know, that way I can pray for my employers. Come on. And things will get better at work and get better with me. Come on now. I can pray for my spouse. Come on now. And you know, I can release my faith. Guys, there's nothing God cannot do. I love what the Reverend Jerry Ace says. He says, what God cannot do does not exist. Now, some guys are saying, no, God cannot lie. Please keep quiet. You are lying already. We're saying miracles. People can be at the point of death and they'll be healed. We've seen it before. People can be at the dire's need and there's no food anywhere. I remember, you know, Hudson Taylor, and I'm saying this because there's some of you listening to me. Your greatest needs are those that you take care of. In the name of Jesus, God who sees your heart will help you to help those people. Yeah. You know, Hudson Taylor, he had an orphanage. And there was no food anymore. No food. And God said to him, tell them to go and sit at the dining table. He looks crazy. The cooks were looking at him like, oh, guy's crazy. Maybe he wants to pray. Not knowing that God has spoken to someone. He said, you cannot rest. God has spoken to the person. You cannot rest. Hudson Taylor needs a whole truckload of food. The man couldn't rest. There are people that will tell you, I just could not rest. Someone told me something. I was out here in the office. In the lobby here. And I just sensed to check a Facebook of someone that I had not seen for years. I just checked. It was last year. So I checked the Facebook. And I just said, why am I checking this guy's Facebook? We've not spoken for years. Then I just sensed to keep checking it. I don't really go to anybody's. I just do what I want to get out of place. So I just checked. I saw a name. I said, this name is a name of this person that I've been looking for too. For the first time. I'm talking about somebody I hadn't seen in 2006. Last year, that would be 16 years. So I just clicked on it and I said, hello. And I greeted. She said she was a bit hesitant. I said, I'm so sorry. So she was trying to figure out. So we began to talk. Then, from nowhere, I didn't check her profile. I said, I just heard God say, ask for account details. I said, yeah? You feel like, why did I check the Facebook like that? He said, ask for account details. So I was right there in the, and I was like, and he told me the exact amount to send. So in my head I said, I'll send it in installments. I'm battling that way. I'm thinking. And God said, not installments. So you're going right there to the auditorium to preach. You can't obey me here. Right there. So interesting, she sent the account number immediately. She didn't wait. by the time I said it, she called and started crying. I said, what happened? She said, you sent the exact amount. At that morning, I took my children and we couldn't go to church or something like that. She said, we raised her. I said, Lord, where is this going to come from? That she was already being embarrassed. And she said, wow. And it was full of tears. And I have to remember that God has used people for me like that too. Where they will not be, say, God just say, I should call you. Someone just called me from nowhere, where in the office. That part of the, if you're an entrepreneur, that part of the month where you're waiting for repayment and they're telling you we don't know where we're paying you. And then you're looking at yourselves. Myself and my partner were looking. So we're at the office and that's when you start talking about Nigeria. he start talking about Nigeria, he's telling me, and I got a phone call. And the man said, Checo, I said, sir, do you know how to do road? My name is Onoyin Kanem. Of course, my own honor is not road. But when he said that, I said, yes, sir. I think that day I was on my chair. I was, where he was. Said, yes, sir. I said, come and meet me so-and-so place. I told my partner. He said, road. He said, we can't do road. we went there, and then he just said, how much is it? So we just started writing and said, Mom, who does road that you know? Call somebody, just go and say, give us quotation, go. And the man just paid up front. That day, there are people that are going to do that for you. Yes. Hallelujah. Do you know it was that money that we used then? You probably don't know this kind of story because you met church this way. It was that money that we used to fund one of our believers' convention. It was a miracle. I'd never done it before. I'd never. He just called. So when I went to the secretary, when he was going to give us a check, the man said, so let me ask you a question. Chairman doesn't pay like this. Oh. People queue here for 9 months. Chairman paid you up front. Better keep quiet. Downtown. I believe for miracles! Praise God. See that? God's going to wake people up to help you. At work, people are going to make things easier for you. We believe for miracles. You know, I was in school and I told the lecturer, so it's only a miracle that miracle. Says, I believe in miracles. You might look at me and say, I'm not joking, sir. I believe in miracles. My life is a life of miracles. Praise God. Paragon is here this afternoon. Amen. Says signs, wonders, diverse miracles. Let no area of your life be immune from miracles. Even the simple things. I believe God. I believe God. I believe God. He will raise good workers for your organization. He can do it. He will bless your boss and your organization. I believe God. Praise God. You know, I like what a preacher said one day. I just stumbled on TV. He said, someone asked him, he said, if you lay hands on one sick person and he doesn't get you, what do you do? Say, I lay hands on the second one. Say, why? Say, because I believe God. You know, that's how a believer should be. I just believe God. Some say, but you've been saying this thing. I believe God. No one will mock you successfully. Yeah. Did you hear me? Yes, no one will mock you successfully. Yeah. You are a believer. God's power is working for you. No one will mock you successfully. If they've mocked your marriage, they've mocked your ministry, they've mocked your business. You know, I don't like to share these kind of stories too much, but maybe I should try. I don't like to share so many financial things like that. But I remember someone said, we can't see this thing you are doing, you know, you're just bringing paper. I kept quiet. When I got what the person wanted to see, I took it to their house. It was deliberate. God doesn't hate it. Come and see it. I didn't say literally, I said, come help us celebrate. what you say? God say, I understand you.
I believe God.
So he that believes him will never be put to shame. I will never be put to shame. You're releasing your faith over your family, over your life, over your ministry. You will never be put to shame. The power of God is working. The power of God is working now. The power of God is working now. You know that song? Everything is working for my good. You know why I sang that song? Everything was bad. Everything was really bad. I mean, very bad. That those women were looking at me like, this man is confused. I was staying in the house of a church member. And they gave me 24 hours to pack out. I said, well, sorry. They said, 24 hours. I said, where do I want to stay? He said, please, leave. I said, can you have 48 hours? I said, no, sorry. So I had to move my thing to someone's room in a hostel of a student. He said, I have to leave. We were sharing bunk. The man just said, Pastor, you take my bunk space. My roommate is noise maker, but I hope you. I said, no problem. So the guy would try and look at the bathroom to see where nobody is there. And he says, you can quickly go into the house. So I walked out and everything is working for my life. I don't have to see the ones walking behind the scene. I said, Lord, you know, that happened. The members of the church then just walked away. So I said, I don't have to see the one walking behind the scene. But I know the script is working for me. You gave me this work, oh God. And I know it's for your glory. And nothing will die in my hands. You gave me this ministry. And I vowed to you years before now that if I was the only one left in the world, I'll preach it. I still mean my commitment. Say, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you to make things work out. Everything is working for my good. I don't have to see the ones walking behind the scene. All I know is the script is working out for me. And I said to myself, in this situation, I'm going to learn tolerance. I'm going to learn faith. I'm going to learn loyalty. I'm going to learn a whole lot of walking in love. But I believe God for miracles. You know, I look back and I'm grateful. Amen. He's still walking out. He's still walking out. He's still walking out. He's going to keep walking out. In my health, is still walking out. In my finances, still walking out. In my business, is still walking out. My family is still walking out. In the ministry, still walking out. Oh, blessed be God. 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 Woo! Everything is working out. So you know what? Sit down 1 minute. Learn to believe God for everything. I believe God is a great day today. You know, it's good for husband and wife. Try to call yourself in the morning. Talk to yourself. Say, honey, it's going to be a great day for us today. We believe God for miracles. Amen. Call your friends. It's going to be a great day. And I learned this from the lips of my dad. When things get tough, he would just say to your rabbi, no, I say, young. It's usually the way he closes his sentence. And I'm used to saying that too now. God will do a miracle. I know I'm not a lazy man. I work hard. I do what I can do. But I know that many times, or couple of times, I can get to the very end. And I've done what can be done. But I can't be hopeless. Because I believe in miracles. You can do all the fitness thing. You can avoid sugar, avoid water and everything. Look, if sickness wants to come, it can come. If it comes, don't say, but I did my checkup, but I did this one, but I avoided it, but I took medication, but I did one. Don't say that. Say, I believe God. His power is working. It's working right now. Hallelujah. And I feel led in my heart to just